Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
To HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Alex Thompson from Power for All. Tell me a little bit about Power for All.
So we're a not-for-profit organization. We operate in the Fraser Valley here in British Columbia, and what we do is we provide adventure activities for clients of all abilities, but we do have specialized equipment for clients who may have different challenges, either physically or mentally, and we have been doing that for the last 6 years. We also fundraise quite a bit so that we can provide bursaries or financial help so people can still access the program even though maybe they have challenges financially.
So, the modified equipment you mentioned, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so for example, for kayaking, we have the use of a transfer bench that has been made specially for kayaks so that maybe someone that needs to transfer from a wheelchair can do that independently without much help to get into the kayak. We have outriggers or pontoons, for example, that can also be installed in a kayak so that if people don't have control of their legs, they can still go in a kayak independently and feel balance and be safe, but still be able to propel on their own. We also have the paddle boards. There's outriggers that attach to a paddle board so that we can attach a wheelchair. It's a specially made wheelchair that sits on top of a paddle board so that clients of, you know, that use wheelchairs can still experience that sport. We have seating systems that go on either a kayak or a paddle board. So that we can accommodate people who may not have trunk stability, but they still want to experience the sports. And there's quite a bit more of equipment I could tell you about, but that's in a summary what we have.
So are there any challenges in providing programs for people with disabilities?
Yeah, the equipment, because it's very specialized, for one, it's really hard to source it out, and once you source it out, it's very expensive. So we're always posed with the challenge of fundraising and trying to find new ways so that we can not only buy the equipment, but also keep the prices low so that clients can afford it, and if they cannot, just finding ways to enable them to still be able to participate in the program. So finances is a challenge. But also, if we can't source out the equipment, then we try to work with other organizations or a team of engineers and occupational therapists so that we can build something that will work, you know, for X or Y client, because the spectrum of abilities is so varied that, you know, one piece of equipment may work for some people but may not work for someone else. So just how to adapt it in individual individualize it for people.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time working with adapted programs, has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
Absolutely. There's many stories. I guess one of the ones that stands out to me is we had a client that he came with some mental health challenges, and he's very isolated to the point that he wasn't able to work. And he got involved with our program. He used to come about, you know, four times every summer. He did that for 3 years. And, you know, you see this person come and just very, very isolated, just not interested in socializing. And as time went by, he began to socialize with others, help others. He became a volunteer with the organization, and now he's actually someone who is working in the community. So it was a long-term transformation that we saw with him. And then in terms of short-term, you know, we've seen clients that have come and they go out with all able people, and we have the all able people. Sometimes there's a stigma associated with certain disabilities, and so when we're all on the water, it's really hard to tell, you know, who's able and who's got challenges. And so because we get to play together, I guess, and, you know, there's activities and games, people start to see each other as we're all individuals, we're all human beings, you know. And so we've seen relationships develop and that stigma sort of being pushed out, because people are able to see beyond the differences and just find common ground.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for inclusion in all activities, what would it be?
Well, one of the core beliefs of our philosophy is that we always need to challenge our beliefs of what is normal and what is able. Who is determining that? Because it depends what approach and what lens you use. We can always enable ability if we choose to see it, you know, in a different way. So for us, it's not, oh, what can this person not do? And what are they going to have problem with? Is how can we facilitate for this person to be able to do, you know, X or Y? And then you find a way. So if society was to approach disability that way, we will certainly have a lot more access and a lot more activities available.
So what are the next steps for the organization?
So in the next couple of weeks, last year we, well, in 2015, this summer, we launched the stand-up paddleboarding program, which is new to Canada. And because of that, we have noticed that there is a need for access to other leisure activities for clients of all abilities. So in the next couple of years, we are developing a loan program for British Columbia so that clients can, you know, just as an all-able person goes and rents a kayak, hopefully we can establish enough partnerships that someone, you know, who's paraplegic can also go and rent a kayak that is equipped so that they can use it and go and paddle. So that's just one example, one of the pieces of equipment that we're looking to have. But there will be other things like maybe an adaptive rowing and, again, the paddleboarding, so that people can borrow those. And maybe it's based off on a membership, so it's still very affordable. And again, it's just continuing to promote that inclusion and access, like it should be, to adventure and to leisure activities.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Alex asked exactly the right question. Who does determine what is quote-unquote normal in society? Who gives themselves the authority to say, you can succeed at this because you learn or move or speak in a certain way, but you can't because you learn or move or speak in a different way. By what authority, by what right, do we as a society take it upon ourselves to say, you can't do this because things are just a little different for you? That's nobody's right. That's nobody's position. The fact is, a person with a disability has the strength to achieve anything an able-bodied person can. Simply a matter of finding the right method to reach them and making the right adaptations. And usually, the adaptations are so simple. Usually, it's the simplest answer that's the correct one, the one that makes the most sense in practical terms. But sometimes we as a society adopt this defeatist attitude. We look at the situation, and we don't even try. We just say to ourselves, oh, the adaptations will be too expensive, or we'll have to reinvent the wheel. But it's organizations like Power for All, in challenging these precepts, in saying things can be adjusted, and it's not even that much more difficult to create, that are really speaking to the community in so much as if one organization sets a precedent and they say it is possible, we believe these people can achieve, that others might take notice and start to understand that it's all a matter of perception. If you believe it to be impossible, it is. If you believe it to be possible, it can be. Fact of the matter is, it all begins with the understanding that a person with a disability is a capable member of society. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
A Detroit-based cultural arts organization, Heritage Works celebrates the beauty and humanity of African people and world culture through movement, music, and folklore. Heritage Works believes culture is a rich resource for promoting understanding as well as personal and artistic excellence. When children, youth, and adults know their heritage, they raise their gaze, lengthen their perspective, and lift up their expectations for their own lives. Understanding and sharing culture builds a sense of community, develops leadership skills, complex thinking, resilience, and a sense of appreciation, and creates curiosity, confidence, and love. People, especially the young, need to help claim the benefit of this inheritance, the help Heritage Works uniquely provides.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Alex Thompson from Power for All. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Tina Rasmussen, who will be telling us all about her experiences with accessible theater. Tell me a little bit about your experience with disabilities in theater.
Yes, well, my sister is legally deaf, so I've grown up with understanding of like where sort of people's bias and preferences, really trying to understand another person's experience. And I've been involved in theater all of my life and have been in development with some very small activities. Like, they're not, you know, mind-blowing, but, you know, ASL-supported performance, and just recently been more active in the conversation around relaxed performances that certainly come out of the UK. So, and last year in World Stage at Harbourfront Centre, I presented Disabled Theatre from Theatre Hora that had a group of artists that had intellectual disabilities. And this year I'm programmed Jess Tom, who has Tourette syndrome. So I'm very interested in continuing to develop theatre for, by, and about all people.
So when you say ASO theatre, go back to your earlier point, Can you take me through a little bit of what that would mean?
An American Sign Language theater presentation?
Yes.
It would be that we would engage an interpreter who would learn the script and stand to the side of the theater of the presentation and give an interpretation of the work. But I think that there's more that can be done, and I think a lot of, like, actual integration into the performance, I've seen that also recently, or actually a show that has actually been created by, in this case, deaf artists for deaf audiences and hearing audiences. There's a lot to be done in this way, I think, which is what I'm excited about.
So, in your time working in disabilities theater, is there any success moment that stood out for you?
Well, just to be clear, that I don't actually profess to be in any way an expert or work in this milieu at all. Like, I'm just trying to bring the Art Center to the notion of development for deaf and disabled artists and audiences. So I just want to be very clear that I'm not in any way an expert. But sorry, can you ask the question again?
In your work, has mm-hmm. there been any success that stood out for you?
Yeah, so many. I'm very evangelical about the notion of theater making us better citizens of the world. I think that it's an arena for reflection and for politics. And when you see someone who might feel intimidated to come to the theater or feel uncomfortable or feel that it's not for them, and they have an experience where they see themselves on stage. We did a workshop with a girl, an artist named Amelia, who has Down syndrome, and she participated in the workshop with other disabled artists and then came to a series of the shows. And to see her friends, her colleagues, other artists on stage and be recognized as a professional artist, and for her to participate and feel like that she was not other, but that she was part of, was an incredibly motivating and extremely special experience for me. But it's not about making worthy experiences or like TWE experiences. It's actually about access to all, which is what I'm really interested in and want to continue to push for, so that it's not an other experience. It is just the normal experience.
So, how does the community typically respond to disability theater?
How does the community respond?
Yes.
I think that's a really good question, and I think that, again, is that over there? Like, is disability arts to the periphery? Like, is it something that other people do? And I think that that's part of the conversation that's happening now with a lot of my colleagues in the city and across the country, is that it's not about marginalizing, but it's actually bringing into focus and making it part of a general community and about access to all.
So, in other words, inclusion shouldn't be an afterthought in this.
Exactly. And that, like, the development of work for by and about our first peoples and deaf and disabled, like, it's really about how can we have that everything is, there's equity in all access, and inclusion being the way of being as opposed to a checklist.
So what are the next steps in your work?
Gosh, there's so many. Well, first of all, we're presenting Jess Tom, who's an artist from the United Kingdom, in a work called Backstage in Biscuit Land, and she has Tourette syndrome, and working with the British Council, because they're very head there as it relates to relaxed performances. And a relaxed performance is generally designed to welcome people into the theater who might have additional needs, and suitable for people with, like, learning disabilities or sensory or communication disorders or autism spectrum conditions. So So we're starting, I believe there's so much to be done in this area, not just the physical access or like Braille programs or large scale fonts on websites and like ramps. I think it's about how people can like intersect with even just coming to the theater, how many steps, like how difficult it is, transit, whatever, and emotionally coming to the theater, like if it lights are too bright or they need to sit on the exit or they need to leave. Like there's a lot of rules that have been created around like theater etiquette and so on, and it's like I think we need to look at that because it's not necessarily for everyone, and it's not really even what coming together and having a theatrical experience is. So we're working together with a lot of local groups to have a very open source and shared collaborative experience about what those next steps are, about training, about communication strategies to, you know, let people know that we are trying to be more accommodating and that we need your support and your guidance and your questions, or and to know that there is opportunities for all people to come to the theater and have a good experience that is for them and by them and about them. I mean, that's the future. So it's right now really mining and doing accessibility audits and how we can bring accessibility officers into our organizations and look at everything from ticketing to the physical theaters, how we talk to the public, like even the work itself. And how can we develop and seed artists that are also deaf and disabled? So, is there opportunities to bring in house and develop artists of multiple disciplines, dance, theater, visual arts, craft, and so on? So it's just the floodgates, I think, are opening with the fact that the Ontario Arts Council has come online with, you know, money to support deaf and disabled artists and art practice and development of artists. So this is a perfect opportunity, I think, for all of us to galvanize around not just policy and advocacy, but about really developing artists and developing audiences that are and make the spaces and the work available to everyone.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
Whether a person is a professional in a given field or not makes no difference in terms of their potential to make things better for the disabled community. It doesn't matter if you have a bunch of fancy letters after your name. Sometimes it just comes down to one person having the heart and the mind to say, things can get better, and I'm going to do my part. Even if, on the surface, it appears to be a very small thing, you can never underestimate the impact you're going to have on a person with a disability. If you're that someone who says, I believe in you, and I'm going to support you in what you do, you might be the first person, that person with a disability's whole life, ever to say that. I've seen it all too often. People who have heard from others that they have no potential, that they can't create. So often so that they've begun to believe it for themselves. My message for the day, folks, don't buy into the lie that a person with a disability has every bit as much potential as their able-bodied counterparts. Fact is, it does just take someone an idea, a vision, just taking a step forward. Any of us can do it. It's just a matter of finding our voice in this sense. It is not any one person's right to tear down another. For the fact is, you can never know all about a person's circumstances. You could spend years watching a person with a disability never know their full potential unless you found the right outlet, the right way to reach them. And I maintain there always is this way. There is always that spark of life, of creativity, of potential in all of us, whether we have a disability or not. If someone finds the right words, the right mood, the right day to reach us, put all the factors together, things can be accomplished. Tina claims she's not a professional when it comes to disabilities theater, but for someone who isn't a professional, she really is making a world of difference. Fact is, nobody starts off with all the technical qualifications, but that doesn't mean they can't make a difference. It doesn't mean they can't do something that'll change the world. And changing a person with a disability's world is one of the greatest joys in life, when you suddenly realize they have this strength, they have this potential to create and to be more than we as a society usually give them credit for. It's up to us to ask, is this person really limited, or are we limiting ourselves and our ability to see potential? What it comes down to is, each of us have to answer that question for ourselves. But if you're someone who believes in equality, or if you're someone with the story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HANDILINK, numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear your stories, folks. But if you believe in equality, just make your mark. Don't wait for someone else to fill the role that says, I believe in equality and potential. Each of us can take a step. One of the show's favorite guests, Samantha Newmarch, did something once. Very simple thing. She held the door for someone in a wheelchair. Was it simply a common courtesy? Was it simply that anyone would have done it? Or was it saying, I respect your right to access. I believe you should be allowed to get into this building and to do business, to do what you need to do, just as anyone else. That is a sign of respect. On the surface, a very simple thing. But if you look at the deeper meaning, the long-term impact, that young person probably felt valued, felt respected, even felt understood in that moment. And there's no way of knowing what the long-term change to his outlook might have been, because it's a matter of recognizing that others do indeed value your presence, value what you can contribute. That's what Tina was getting at. The fact that we as a society should never limit ourselves and our ability to believe in others' potential. And maybe it's a matter of finding the right adaptation, and maybe that takes some time and some effort, but I maintain anything of any value in this world takes time, takes effort. But it's just a matter of pushing forward, finding our own way to contribute, and each of us can. Each of us can make a life that much brighter. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks, and we'll see you next week.